Today I have the pleasure of speaking with Dr. Sarah Hennessy from Cambridge University, and we are going to talk about interactive whiteboards. Hello Sarah, how are you?
Hello Michael, I'm fine, thanks.
Sarah, would you introduce yourself and tell us who you are and what your work consists of in Cambridge?
Sure, I work in the Faculty of Education at the University of Cambridge. My official title is Lecturer in Teacher Development and Pedagogical Innovation, which is a bit of a mouthful, but hopefully it pretty much sums up what I do, which is teaching and also at master's level and also research, most recently looking at interactive whiteboards, but also I've looked at other classroom technologies in the past.
Excellent. And I mean, today the focus of our podcast is on the interactive whiteboards. Can you give us a little historical background to the investment in England, particularly on interactive whiteboards?
Yes, there's been a massive investment recently, meaning in the last 5 to 7 years, I suppose, beginning probably in 2003 and 2004 when the government announced initiatives to fund the purchase of whiteboards for schools, both secondary and primary. That was initiated by Charles Clarke, the Secretary of State for Education at the time. And since then, there's just been an absolutely exponential increase in the numbers that we see in the classrooms. Between that time, 2002 and 2005, the numbers increased sixfold. But what was interesting is that the implications for teaching and learning weren't really considered at the time when the funding was put in place. So the rationale wasn't entirely clear. And I might say, still isn't.
Right. And why do you think Charles Clarke invested in them in the first place? What was his? Had he seen something somewhere else to get him to focus in on this particular one technology, or was there something else?
Well, I'm not certain, but I think it probably coincided with introduction of the national strategies and an increased focus on whole class teaching. And I believe that the whiteboard was construed as a very conducive tool for whole class teaching and one that would give teachers some support in what they should be doing, particularly at primary level where you have the numeracy hour and the literacy hour. So I guess that's what it was. And I think that also the kind of rapid rapid access to lots of resources was also a bonus feature of the whiteboard. And it was seen that, teachers could have everything at their fingertips. You'd have a wide range of media there to support teaching and learning activities. So,
right. And I noticed that there has been quite a lot of research done on the use of interactive whiteboards in the UK, particularly, as you say, in the last 2 to 3 years. Would you be able to give us just kind of a high-level summary of what that research is saying?
Yes, I mean, the UK has actually been the kind of leader of this kind of research. It's all mainly because it's at the sort of forefront in terms of the market. In the UK is the world leader in terms of numbers of whiteboards in classrooms, which is now over 70% of our classrooms, and, the vast majority of our schools have them. The next country down is Mexico, with only 27%. So you can see we're way, way ahead of the competition, if you like. And that's followed by the States, Australia, New Zealand, with about 20% of, coverage, if you like. So, so the UK is well up there. I think the research has been focusing on the role of the teacher, I'm very pleased to say, as somebody who's interested personally in teacher development, rather than on the technology. I mean, there has been some of the initial research, I suppose the early work, did look at the features of the technology and what teachers could do with it. But we pretty much know that now, the interactive features that set it aside from just having a data projector, the ability to go and manipulate things directly on the board. Those sorts of things are known. Whereas what actually the pedagogy can look like in an effective classroom is not so well known, and that's a current and developing area of research. What the main work shows, I suppose, in a nutshell, is that there is maybe what you might call more interactive teaching with an interactive whiteboard, in the sense that teachers ask students more questions. However, students' answers are shorter, so they're actually talking less and reflecting less, which isn't necessarily a good thing.
Yes.
Also, the pace of the lesson increases, as I think was intended by the government, but there's a trade-off between pace and interactivity, of course. And what the research finds is that actually the deeper thinking is ironically often carried out away from the board. So again, a bit something else that needs addressing.
Absolutely. And has there, you know, on the teacher professional development that has gone along with the boards, has there or is there now a focus more on the role of the teacher and particularly on questioning, since you mentioned it there?
I think there is in some small pockets of practice, but that's not, in my experience, a nationwide or universal phenomenon. I don't think it's been, you know, far-reaching enough. I think there are some elements of good practice going on in certain institutions, but that's not a national initiative. And I think, you know, we need to look towards that in the future.
Okay. And Sarah, your own work, I mean, you have done a lot of research, as you said at the outset, in the area of technologies in schools, and I have come across your work in the past, particularly in the area of maths and science. But what kinds of work have you been researching yourself in this area?
Well, my own work with whiteboards is focused on the fact that children can use these boards interactively, although they are, you know, perhaps originally construed as primarily a teacher tool. But they offer students new opportunities to share their ideas with their peers and with their teachers, you know, in public, and not just verbally, but using diagrams and other kinds of representation on the board. So they can go up to the board and directly add things and move things around. And that way they can more easily articulate their sort of developing knowledge and the ideas that they're beginning to put together. They can test out hypotheses and so on, and they can get feedback from the class and from the teacher. So there's lots of new opportunities for collaborative work, for reasoning at the board, for interpreting that go, you know, well beyond the kinds of classroom technologies we've had in the past. So that's the exciting part from my point of view. I've looked at secondary maths and science to some extent was my sort of first project, and they're focusing on the level of participation by students in science particularly, and the critical role of the teacher in fostering that. You know, the teacher is absolutely central here. Yes. In structuring the activities to start with in ways that are going to challenge pupils, build on what they know already, mm-hmm. whilst integrating, you know, new ideas. So my work focused on the strategies that teachers use, the pedagogic strategies, if you like, to exploit the sort of exciting new features of the board, sure. The way that you can have a kind of object that is a central focus on the board for the whole class to see, and the annotation tools that will, you know, allow students to come up there and make their own contributions too.
And I mean, one of your forthcoming papers is on a particular strategy of dialogic teaching. You might just tell us what that is and why you're focusing on that particular strategy with the boards.
Yes, that's my most recent work, and it's focusing on the use of the boards as a tool for encouraging and supporting classroom dialogue, and that means dialogue between students or between teachers and students. And there's been some research in the area of dialogue or dialogic interaction, which shows that it does support learning, it does promote learning gains. What it actually means is the ways that teachers and students work together to explore ideas, to share them, to evaluate them, and they generate questions, and that means students as well as teachers. So it's more than just, you know, straightforward talk. It's where participants are making their reasoning clear to each other. They're doing that explicitly. And most importantly, they're building on other people's ideas and critiquing them as well as critiquing their own.
Yes.
So the role of the teacher is really important here, because they need to support this with very targeted questioning that's open-ended, that, you know, that is provoking the students to think a bit more deeply. Mm-hmm. And the students hopefully will be speaking for more extended lengths of time than we typically see with the whiteboard.
Yes.
When they're taking part in discussions.
And do you see this particular approach being used right across the board at both primary and post-primary?
Definitely. And my own research involves a primary school teacher, a middle school teacher, and a secondary school teacher, and a variety of subjects.
Right.
So absolutely. And the dialogic approach has been, you know, has been looked at mainly in science, actually, but also in other subjects. And I certainly feel it's generic, and it's something that all teachers can use, you know, whether or
yes.
not they have access to an interactive whiteboard.
You might explore that. You might expand on that one, because, again, a lot of our teachers in Ireland may not have an interactive whiteboard, though it is becoming very popular. And many may start out with a projector and a computer.
Yeah, and you can do a lot with that because you still have the central focus. You have a screen on, you know, that everyone can see, and you can manipulate things. You may have to do it from the computer itself rather than directly at the board, but yes. You still have an awful lot of power there. And it means that, you know, students' work can be projected still, and lots of, you know, they can still make contributions in many ways. It's a pedagogy that, as I said, involves taking account of where students are and building on their ideas, and that doesn't actually require any technology to do.
Sure.
But the technology supports and enhances that, and that's what I've been looking at, how the whiteboard could be, you know, an effective tool to actually increase dialogic teaching.
And I suppose coming back to the boards in particular, why do you think they are so popular? And particularly at primary, I've seen some discussions on the NACE website suggesting that they haven't been as popular in the UK at second level, but that they certainly have been at primary.
Yeah, I think that's probably true. They are used more of the day in a primary school. And I think that's partly to do with the fact that a teacher has a class in the same room all day long. Whereas secondary teachers need to, you know, gather up new resources for each class that comes every 50 minutes or something. So that's probably part of it. But I think certainly I've worked with quite a few secondary teachers who really do rave about the whiteboard. They love having all their resources at hand, and that saves them a lot of time, and they can have media-rich content. They can download their own things from the internet and have everything at their fingertips, which just is a far more efficient way of working, and obviously they can pull that out for multiple classes and reuse it.
Sure.
There are also some managerial benefits of having a whole class teaching tool. And this would be the same with a data projector, you know, which is basically that it's much easier for the teacher to have one single piece of technology to look after than to supervise, you know, a class of 25 or 30 using desktop machines or even portables or handheld type things, you know, individually or in groups. Because then the teacher has to circulate, you know, quite a large area to see what's going on. And learners, it's not entirely clear what, you know, what they're doing at all times and whether and what the knowledge is that they're developing when left unsupervised for periods. You know, they could develop some erroneous ideas there.
Sure,
so it's more difficult for the teacher to make a kind of timely intervention in that situation, and I think that's why the whiteboard and other whole class teaching tools are quite popular.
Absolutely, and I think from what we're seeing in Ireland as well, particularly for teachers who are a little reticent to, you know, of the use of technology in their teaching, that this is a very good place for them to start. Because, as you say, they only have to worry about one piece of technology and not worry about multiple pieces of technology.
Yes, a word of caution, though, is that these kinds of benefits can also, you know, lead to kind of more teacher control. And there is a cynical view amongst some educators that whiteboards have proved very popular with teachers because they reinforce an existing pedagogy, which is one of transmission-style teaching, as opposed to involving the students more. And certainly they can be used that way, and I've certainly seen them. They can be used as a projection tool.
Yes.
You know, we've all experienced death by PowerPoint, and many students do so on a daily basis, unfortunately.
Yes.
So, you know, I think there is an issue there that we don't want to encourage too much of that. And there's been some research by Bechter, actually, that shows that teachers value some of the what's called the surface features of the whiteboard, the ones that will sort of be associated with increased pace, with student motivation being higher and being more involved and, you know, taking part in class discussions and so on. But those are not necessarily the ways of interacting that are going to increase learning. And there can be some quite superficial interaction going on in that case with the whiteboard.
Yes, and I suppose that's something that certainly seems to be a concern in Ireland as well, that the boards can be used predominantly to promote kind of a transmission lecture type of approach.
Mm.
And what do you think is the way to guard against that? Is it professional development on around the pedagogies?
Yes, I think it is. I think it's supporting teachers and, you know, perhaps making them aware of, you know, that we've had decades of educational research that tells us that students really don't learn by passively watching or listening, and probably many of us don't either. You know, we learn by doing things, by trying out ideas and getting some feedback on them and then revising those ideas and making, you know, new connections and developing new forms of knowledge. So it's a case of helping teachers to do that through professional development programs, ideally.
Sure. And, you know, when we'll have the BET show in London now in a couple of weeks' time. And I remember, was it last year or the year before, there was a big push on using the boards, interactive whiteboards, interactively. And it was through the use of those voting machines, the handhelds. Surely it's more than that, though. We're looking for. I presume they can have a role, but that on its own is not going to solve this issue.
No, that's right. And those, you know, even those voting machines can be used very mechanically.
Yes.
And you know, students can enter random answers. I've seen them do that in a maths class, actually.
Right.
So you're going to need some real teacher input to make sure that doesn't happen.
Yes.
And I think, you know, the technology is not everything. We certainly need teachers to interact, you know, on a personal level, to actually circulate around the class at times,
yes.
Speaking to individuals and groups and checking up on what it is that they're learning, what they're taking away from any learning activity.
You're fine. Yeah.
Although the whiteboard is designed as a whole class tool and is almost always used that way, there has been some interesting research by some of my colleagues at Cambridge looking at use in groups in primary schools to study science, where groups of children use the whiteboard on their own with an activity that the teacher has, of course, designed quite carefully for that purpose.
Yes.
But, you know, interspersing that with whole class teaching can be very effective.
You might say a word about that. How did that work out? Did that work well?
It's been very successful, yeah. They've done some case studies on primary schools in quite a wide region.
Yes.
And in each case, I think the sort of the main success was determined on how well the teacher had structured the task.
Right.
Because otherwise, if students are left unsupervised, they could get lost and,
yes.
you know, they could sabotage what the teacher had designed.
Sure.
And they did indeed do that, sometimes in a positive way and sometimes in a not-so-productive way. So
sure.
It's going to still require the teacher to put quite a lot of careful thought and planning in, was
yes.
the conclusion. But, you know, students did work extremely well independently, and the quality of the talk as they chatted to each other about the tasks was really very high in terms of, you know, dialogue. So that was a nice venue, and in fact, you could argue, you know, the teachers probably got more out of them in that case than if they'd been in a whole class situation.
Yeah, I mean, I think that seems, I would like to get the reference for that from you, because I think we need to see more of that happening over here. I mean, I think still most teachers would probably admit themselves that they're using it more for whole class lessons. And I think that classroom management piece to organize it into groups, you know, isn't happening probably as much as we'd like it to, I'd say, at this stage.
No, that's the same here.
Yeah.
The researchers in that case were Neil Mercer and Paul Warwick, who also work on my dialogue project, and a couple of other colleagues. And they do have a website just aimed at teachers, which is linked to our faculty website, and I can give you the address for that.
That's brilliant. We'll put that up on the notes. And I suppose to conclude, Sarah, what are your thoughts around the future of the interactive whiteboard in classroom teaching? What are the opportunities and some of the challenges that still lie ahead?
Well, I think there are lots of opportunities. We've touched on some of those. I think I personally want to focus on the pedagogy. Clearly, there are new technologies coming out too, so I suppose we should start with those. You know, the whiteboard technology itself is developing all the time. We've now got the possibility for multiple users to interact with the board at once. In the past, only one person could ever use the pen. And we've got tabletops, sort of horizontal versions
yes.
of the whiteboard, which are quite exciting too. But I think all, you know, however flashy these new gadgets are, actually we can do quite a lot with not such whizzy technology and not even very whizzy uses of the technology. And that's one of the conclusions of our research, that
yes.
you don't need to be an expert in all the advanced features and using all the bells and whistles in order to create effective teaching situations. And I think the challenge for us all is to support teachers in shifting towards a more kind of dialogic pedagogy so that they can fully exploit the whiteboard. And, you know, I think that involves the kinds of strategies I've already mentioned about drawing on pupils' own views and so on, and creating opportunities for them to contribute their ideas. And creating what I've called a dialogic classroom space. So
yes.
not just the whiteboard is a dialogic space, but the whole classroom is.
Yes.
You know, so the teacher is sometimes interacting in other areas and using other resources, whether they're technology-based or not,
sure.
To support a dialogic approach.
And Sarah, could you give us maybe some examples of this in practice?
Yeah, I've seen some quite interesting examples over my time. I mean, one is the use of the whiteboard to create a food web where each child comes up and adds a link to the web. So they have to build on other students' ideas. They clearly do.
Yes.
And the teacher in this case didn't actually give feedback. She refused to do that. She told the class, you know, it's up to all of you to check whether it's right. So she handed over the responsibility, you know, for the learning to the class. While the whiteboard was kind of serving as a recording tool. So, yeah, that was quite nice. And it generated a lot of discussion when the students were a bit uncertain about which items they should add or which they should link together.
What age were they?
That was secondary school.
Okay.
Mm. Yeah.
Right.
I've seen also a nice example of primary practice where a teacher working in the area of personal, social and health education was teaching about personal safety. And she had a whole variety of different scenarios up on the board that students looked at. She had an audio recording of her voice reading out one of the scenarios, which was very powerful rather than them just reading it passively.
Yes.
Then the students came up and annotated around the sides of it the kinds of ideas they had about, you know, strategies they could use in that to kind of combat that particular situation. It was a situation of domestic violence.
Mm-hmm.
These were year six children.
Yes.
And then she actually got the students to audio record their own voices with some ideas they had, and she played those from the whiteboard.
Brilliant.
So she had about five or six of those giving their own views. So, yeah, it was a whole range of technology used in that case.
Brilliant. And from professional development point of view, what kinds of resources do you have for teachers to help them to improve their pedagogical practice around the use of these technologies?
Well, we have materials from all of our case studies. We're putting them together in a kind of toolkit, which is not any kind of recipe for success, but a sort of springboard for discussion, if you like. It's to help teachers to reflect further on their own practice and to think what they could do with the whiteboard in their own situations, but to give them some ideas, you know, from seeing other practitioners, if you like, in action in the classroom, and then to, you know, think of some things they might want to go and try out for themselves. So we have those, and we also have a kind of teacher-friendly dialogue table that characterizes what dialogue is like in the context of interactive whiteboard use. And it uses headings like, in my classroom, we do such and such, and you will see us doing such and such, you know.
Yes.
So, again, there's some tools where teachers could use that to sort of audit their own extent of dialogic teaching.
Yes.
And there's also a sort of sample teaching and learning policy action plan, which outlines a whole plan for staff development based on peer observation and reflection. So that's the kind of approach I hope that schools will take up.
Brilliant.
rather than the traditional style of training, which has been from the whiteboard manufacturers without the pedagogical element, unfortunately.
Absolutely, absolutely. I just want to say thank you for your time today.
Thank you very much for having me.